Hi, this is WJOY's Lamplighter Program. I'm Howard Gunning, and today we want to continue our conversation with Darren Valdez. He's a young man, as you may recall from our last session, who, once he went off to college, really went off the deep end. He got into alcohol, he got into cocaine, he got into meth, he got homeless, and eventually God brought circumstances through his life to get him to start getting healed. So we're going to pick up with Darren's story, and we hope that you enjoy it and find some hope in it.
These 12 steps, and they talked about God, but they talked about God in a different way than I'd ever experienced. I grew up Catholic, and it was just different the way they talked about him. They didn't talk about God like he was. What I had in my mind was a judgmental being that looked at me like I was not so special, right? But the way this one guy talked about him was that he just loved me, and he, the things I was seeing before I got sober and the things I was seeing after I got sober were like night and day. I mean, when I was on the street, they were all dark, and it was like it was demonic almost. It was really awful. And then I got into recovery. Music I heard had so much inspiration, and the birds, it's the sunrise, everything was just so beautiful. And so this guy I saw there, he became my sponsor, and he started giving steps. And you know, the first one was surrender. I didn't really understand what all this meant, but eventually these steps brought me back to what they call a higher power, and which I now call God. It's a whole new understanding of how God works. I found out that he's pretty good with these kind of situations. I say it because it's so hard to put into words what's happened. I mean, at first, I didn't know what a higher power was, and my sponsor told me to put it out to the universe. He said, God, if you're there, I need to know you're there. And I was going to a meeting, I was a few months sober, and I was walking to a meeting at Denver Cares, and I was walking back, and I was listening to Pandora Station at the time, and the music had just been so amazing when I was getting in recovery early, and it felt like God was talking right to me. We just inspirational things and stuff that spoke directly to me. And I was walking by this church, and I heard this song come on, and it was something I don't really, it was a kind of music I wasn't really used to. It was a band called the Misfits, and the title of the song was We Are 138. And it's kind of weird because it's like a punk rock, heavy metal song. It's just not, it's not what I usually listen to. And so I kind of hit fast forward on it. I remember looking up saying, God, I don't get what you're trying to say with this one. And I got back to the house, and one of the counselors asked me how many days I had sober I had. And there's a sobriety calculator on here. There's an app for that, how many days sober you have, and it turned out to be 138. And I went outside, and I was like, holy cow. It's real. There's been many things like that. Nowadays, he does it through other people. I'm meeting another kid through the steps, and he just finished his 8th step today. He's about to make his amends. And every day he comes to me, he has that light in his eyes. And now that's kind of how God talks to me, through him.
So you said a sponsor. It was kind of like somebody, another man who was helping hold you accountable, right?
Yep.
And then you had a whole new relationship with God. And so you...
Yeah, he's the one that led me back to God. Well, the whole situation, my dad and my mom are very spiritual people. And so when I was early in sobriety, I started going back to church, and I was going to the early mass at 8 in the morning because they would have us go out and look for work and things like that. But I would start every day by going to church. And the most amazing part about church was it was a half-hour mass. And right after mass, the church would clear out. And I decided to stay. I would end up staying there for like an hour after Mass and just sitting there in front of the cross. And these beautiful lights would come through the window, the stained glass window. And I just felt so at peace for that hour. It was just me and God. We got to sit there and talk and go over the day and see what we were going to do. And that, I believe, has probably had the most profound effect on my recovery, that those hours I would sit with him. Just the most beautiful hours of my life.
Awesome. Now, that program was, that recovery program was about, what, a year long or so?
I was there about 9 months.
9 months.
Yep. Ended up getting, I got a scholarship to go to school, which I thought was neat. About 6 months in, I was volunteering at a restaurant called the Same Cafe. So All May Eat is why they come. Yeah, So All May Eat. It's a restaurant where you can go in and you can work off for your meal. And when I was on the streets, I would go in there and they would feed me. And so I volunteered when I was in recovery, and I would go to meetings most of the day, fill out an application, go to 3 meetings a day, and then go volunteer at the Same Cafe. And they had a flyer up on their bulletin board for the Gamble Foundation. Here in Denver, they were starting a thing called Upstream Impact. And they were helping people out of poverty, it said. They were giving scholarships to go to Emily Griffith, and you just had to write an essay and tell them your story. And
now, Emily Griffith, for our listening audience, that's a private college out there in Colorado, right? It's like a vocational type school?
It is vocational. It's a woman started it 100 years ago for people that would get back from the war that needed some kind of technical training to get a job. I think they had watchmakers and stuff back in the day. Now they have nursing and welding, and they had video production,
right?
Which I thought was a fun one, and so I decided to pick that one.
So the upstream
opportunity,
the upstream folks,
yes,
that's a pretty heavily vetted process. I mean, it's not just something you go to them. I watched an interview with you on public TV here. I watched it last night, and the applicants, you apply to that program. And there's a series of interviews, and not very many people get in there, but they help pay your way to go to Emily Griffith, the training school, into that video production program. So,
exactly. I went to the interviews and I got accepted, and they put me right into school. I went to Emily Griffith for video production and ended up making a lot of videos about Upstream and Same Cafe. I did one for Boys and Girls Club. I did a documentary on a gentleman who's had 38 years in recovery. It was really just a wonderful program. I learned just so much. But then when school was over, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. It's kind of hard to get a job in video production. And Upstream Impact helped me with some connections that they had. Get an interview at Channel 12, which is the PBS station in Denver, CPT 12, and they gave me a job on the production crew. It was part time, but it was wonderful. I got to work lights and work the camera and on TV shows that we put out every week. Wow, it's hard to encapsulate all that's happened. So this Upstream Impact, they wanted me to be a leader in their. And which is one of the members that they help. So for a year, I saved every receipt I had, and I had a budgeting coach, and I had an ally, which was Jason Jans. And we met every week as a family, all of us. And we go over our goals and how we're coming along on those goals and what goals we need to set and what things we're falling behind on. And every week we do this, and lo and behold, after a year's time, I graduated, bought my own car, got in my apartment. I got a job working at the sobriety house where I got sober. They gave me a job as a house manager full-time, and they gave me an apartment right there at the place. Gave me the keys to every place, every door in the whole house.
So you basically have two jobs. You're helping manage there at Sobriety House, and you're still working part-time there at Channel 12 in Denver.
Yep. And I do upstream now. I'm an ally for them. So every new class we get, I get another ally, and I walk with him. So it's kind of a self-sustaining process. Now we're all helping each other get through life. It's a really neat way to go.
Well, once again, we've run out of time, and this is very unusual. We don't usually do a three-part Lamplighter, but I think with the issues with meth and drug addiction, even in our area, that it's a story worth being told and being heard. So if you'd like to hear the final part, tune in with us next time on the Lamplighter program. I'm Howard Gunning. Thanks for making us part of your day.